Do I have to start over with a prayer too? I can't pray enough. The slavery in those days were quite a bit different than what happened in America. These were mostly Jewish people who had got in financial trouble and had sold themselves to a master for a number of years to pay off a debt. We've used the term in early America as indentured servants, where people would come over and work for a tradesman or a guildsman for as much as 7 years to learn a trade and pay their way over. There were Christians who were slaves. There were Christians who were masters in those days. They did not treat them like we see from the famous television show Roots or anything like that whatsoever. And we need to understand that these were people who lived together, worked together, served God together. And he's telling the slaves first to respect the masters, because we actually belong to God, and that's our responsibility. But the masters, therefore, if we go into the last part, indeed they should serve them better, because their masters devote themselves to fellow believers and to the welfare of the slaves. So we should work together, whatever our social status is in life. The mistreatment and all that took place was not of godly matters. It was not at all. And it was a total different understanding. So do not think that the Bible is pro-slavery, that a lot of false teachers and preachers would have preached back pre-Civil War. It is not that way at all. It's one of love and service to one another. These are the things you are to teach and insist on, Paul tells Timothy. If anyone teaches otherwise, he does not agree to the sound instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching. They are conceited and understand nothing. Paul's now saying, tell the truth. Now, folks, I don't know if you all have noticed it, but we have an adventure going on in our country right now. Those of you who are giggling know that I'm talking about the upcoming elections period. And you can turn from one television channel to another, one newspaper to another, and you're thinking, are we in the same country? Because everybody's telling something different. They're telling it from their own point of view. Well, that's not unusual. It's that way in sports. I mean, everybody here knows that University of Kentucky has the best basketball team of all time and will continue. And some of you Alabama fans or Clemson fans or Auburn fans may think that way about your football teams. And there's somebody who plays baseball, but I don't know any names since the Reds quit playing. But we have different opinions. Some of you like American cars, and some of you like foreign cars. Some of you like horses, but they're too hard to clean up after. We just have different opinions. And that's okay if we do not insist that our opinions are correct and the only ones correct. Heard it stated just recently. Everybody has the right to their own opinion, but not everybody has the right to their own facts. Far too long, far too often, and far very dangerously, people have made up their own facts about God. Look up God in the internet and see what kind of answers you get. Look up Christianity. And I did this last night till 2 in the morning. I'm thinking, where do these people get these ideas? I can tell you where we're supposed to get our ideas. I got to walk all the way up here to get it because I got the handbook. It's called God's Word. It's called the Bible. Paul is saying if it's not from God, if it's not Christ's teaching, if it's not the words about Jehovah, then it is wrong. And you can be very, very loud about it. You can be proud about it. You can have all the statements you want to. You can have conventions. You can have rallies. But if it is not a fact, it is still not true. And sometimes people get so impassioned and have no earthly idea what they're talking about. I saw this happen when I was a basketball chaplain up in Georgetown, Kentucky. The coach's favorite was a young man who had no talent at all, but he had all the heart in the world. He was the leader of the team, but he just didn't have the skills. And one day we were practicing for a very difficult team, not number one team in the country, and we were supposed to have left the bus. 3 hours earlier, he was still at practice. And Coach Osborne kept hollering, Blake, lead, Blake, lead, Blake, lead. Blake came over to me, put his hands against the wall. We were prayer partners. Put his hands against the wall and says, he's driving me crazy. What are you talking about, Blake? He says, he's telling me to leave. I said, Blake, he's saying lead. Hear the right word. He says, oh, okay, I can do that. We have to understand what our task is. And our task is to believe in God, to serve God. Jeff told you about the last page of our bulletin. That says it all right there. There should not be any takeaways or add to it because we should know what God expects. And then whatever God expects, we should do it. And it is that simple. He says, if anybody tells you anything different, they are wrong. Do not get confused. Now, there's a lot of people who can change just one thing at a time. There's a thing in America called the patent law. It goes all the way back, I think as far back as Franklin, the patent laws. In my understanding, if somebody's patented something, and as long as you, if you duplicate exactly the same thing, you're wrong. So you change one little thing. You add a little bit more cinnamon to the ice cream. You put more chocolate drops in the cookies. More key lime in the pie. And you change it just a little bit. And it's the same thing, but it's not the same thing. If you start adding or taking away God's word, it is not the same thing. He told us what he wants us to know. He told us how he wants us to live. And we need to accept that. If it doesn't agree with sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, they're conceited and they understand nothing. You ever met anybody, you're thinking, what planet did you come from? Or what generation did you grow up in? Because you're not anywhere close to what we're saying. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy and strife, maliciousness, talk, evil, superstitions, constant friction between people and corrupt minds who've been robbed of the truth and think they are godliness is means or the means of financial gain. You know anybody just likes to argue? It's Sunday, right? No. It's not Sunday in England. And it's not even yet Saturday in Malaysia. And they'll just start with something else way out of the way just to try to disagree with you. They're just disagreeable people. They're not my favorite people, tell you the truth about it. They just bring us down most of the time. And they start coming, you start finding something else. I think I'll go over and turn over alligators or something. I just do not fool with these people. That's what we do. We don't need those people in life. They're there to get their own financial gain. We need to be aware of that. Do not let somebody bring you down, even if they sound beautiful, even if they look handsome, even if they drive big cars, they wear fancy rings, they have nice suits that fit. It doesn't matter if they're not teaching God's word. And it's our responsibility to make sure they are. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. Morris the cat. Remember Morris the cat? The old fat cat that was a stray or something like that. And they took him in and groomed him up well. And he just looked contented all the time. I got one better than that. Some of you are over 50. Most of you look a lot younger. I'm standing by the pulpit. I shouldn't be talking like that. But we used to have Elsie the cow. Remember Elsie? Milk that comes from contented cows. Now, I've seen a lot of cows in my life. I can't tell if they're contented or they got gas. I'm not sure which it is. But they seem to be smiling one way or another. We need to be contented with what we're working on. We need to go for the growth and the gain in serving each other. Not monetary gain, physical gain. Health-wise, working with others, sharing and caring, loving, outpouring of love. Do you ever notice a young child, they come up, they want to be touched, they want to be held, they want to be loved, they want you to care about them. We should be that with each other. I love our handshaking department or our fist-bumping department or whatever you want, and we've got plenty of that alcohol rub over here and a bunch over there when you get ready to eat. We've got bathrooms, wash hands here, and bathrooms, wash hands here, and sanitation's a good thing, but just human contact is a wonderful thing. Eye-to-eye contact to show that you care about somebody. That's contentment. I love this. This is a sermon line for a funeral. For we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. Think about it. If you were fortunate enough to see a baby born, they come in buck. Can you say buck naked in church? Probably not. I didn't say that. They come in totally without. And I understand from some of my friends who are undertakers that there are no pockets in a funeral coat because you ain't taking nothing with you. We need to realize to do the best we got with what we're at the time. Plan for each day and then plan for the long run, which is our reunion with Christ in heaven. And that's where our contentment comes from. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. It was just announced this week that the fellow that paid, I don't know, $500,000 or something to get his kids into a prestigious school. You hear about those, Lori Lohan, all them? He's going to pay about $750,000 penalty. He's going to serve 9 months in jail, and he's going to do 5,000 hours of community work. I guess he thought his kids were so stupid they couldn't get into college, so he had to buy their way there. Money doesn't solve it all. It doesn't always work. And look at the embarrassment now that these people have put their children through. National scorn that they that tag will be around them the rest of their lives. Daddy tried to buy you into a school. Those who want to get rich fall in temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires. If you ever get a call on the phone, we've got this deal, we've got that deal, sign up here, sign up there, people trying to talk you into something, scams going on all the time, send us some money, send us the fee, there's just a lot of things going on, and we're easily fooled because we want something for nothing. It doesn't work that way. Many foolish and harmful traps, destruction and ruin. Verse 10 is the second most misquoted verse in the entire Bible, and let me read it to you. I'm going to tell you. No, let me tell you what most people think. Money is the root of all evil. You ever heard that? Anybody heard that? I believe you have. Well, let me tell you what the Bible really says. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The ancient translation actually says the lust after filthy lucre. Lust, a great desire that you cannot control. There's nothing wrong with money when it's used properly. But when you will do anything to get it, no matter who you harm and who you run over and who you take it from and who you shortchange, that is where the sin is. It usually follows up with that money not making them happy anyway. They need more and more, just like a drug addiction, need more and more and more for the power and the prestige. We need to stay away from that, Paul says. For the love of money, the love of money, remember. What's the other one that's most misquoted? Judge not, lest ye be not judged. It actually says, for the measure which you use as your judgment, so shall you be judged. So if you're harsh on somebody else, you'll get the same thing back. But that's another sermon. Just had to say it. But you, men of God, flee from this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Would you like to be around more people that act like that? Sound like a good mother-in-law, father? Oh, we love our mother-in-laws. Sound like a good person to know, to be around, to share. Kind of people we're happy to be with, that care about us. When they say, how you doing, they really mean, how are you doing? Not just say that and to keep on walking because they don't care. Those are godly people. And we should pursue that. Pursuit. There was a plane, a P-38, that was actually used over here in Page Field during World War II. It was trained by the Navy pilots. Pursuit. P-38 means a pursuit plane. It chased other planes down. We need to chase after these things, righteousness and godliness and faith and love, endurance, and gentleness. We need to go after them, not let them come and run over us, but let us be there to take them when they're around us. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession, Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ. It's important. Who, he says, while testifying to Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. Christ said, I'm the Son of God. You say that. I charge you to keep this command without a spot or a blame until the first appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I do not have a white suit. First of all, I would look like the Snake Puff Marshmallow Man. Or Frosty the Snowman or something. Secondly, I couldn't keep it clean from one side of the door to the other. There'd be food drippings or on Sunday mornings, my orange pop that I drink once a week and all that kind of stuff. We can stain ourselves real bad real quickly when we're not careful. And things will come on us very fast. I doubt if there's a person here that's not spilt something on them in the last 2 or 3 weeks or hours. It just seems to happen that way. We're to stay away from the things that can blot us, that can stain us, that can bring us down, that gets in our way, gives us a bad reputation. Well, now, let me wait a minute. You see, a reputation is a funny thing. If you would ask a lot of people, well, a Christian has a bad reputation. They just serve one God. They will complain when you don't do something right. They look out for this God and other people, and they're not like one of us. We try to break them down and bring them down to our level. So sometimes a bad reputation, if it's for the right reason, is a good thing. But usually not. Depends on what that reputation is about and how you got it. And Paul's saying, Timothy, be careful with your reputation. Don't let it be stained. Let it be positive. Let it work out. Keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of Christ Jesus. I just cannot wait, but it'll be a few months or so, maybe even next fall. We're going to get into the book of Revelation. We're going to word for word, line for line, about the promises that Christ made and the others have made about his return. I just get the shivers. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of the kings and the Lord of lords. That's in one of our songs called Hallelujah, King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be the honor and might forever. When you think about what Paul knew, he talked to Jesus personally. Jesus had visited him on the road to Damascus after he was blinded by the light. Paul knew the true choices that God was going to make and what had to happen, and therefore Paul was excited about it. And if we can trust anybody else's word, we can trust Paul's word and be excited ourselves. There is a song that says, get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. That should be our daily forte. Now, we don't have to run up down the road, honk on our horn, get a bull horn, or hand out placards, but we can sure tell people by living that way. I passed the word by just a minute ago, and I didn't do it on purpose, but I did. Love. Hey, I'm wearing pink. I am not afraid to wear pink. All right, you got it? That's pink. What was I going to say? Coming up this week is St. Valentine's Day. Now, that is about the most misappropriated of all the holidays. Valentine was born in B.C. A.D. 226. He was killed in 270 by Claudius Augustus, because he was a Christian and they were persecuting Christians. He was one who proposed great relationships between peoples and families. He was considered a priest of love and family time, and he was killed. Now, somewhere after that, somebody got the smart idea about celebrating St. Valentine's Day. Probably the candy makers and the card makers and the flower growers. I mean, it's just a big hoorah. Do not try Thursday afternoon at 5 o'clock to buy a dozen long-stem roses. They probably are too expensive if you could find somebody. But we've done that. But I look past the word love, as in Valentine's Day, into the Bible. In the New International Version, the word love is mentioned 551 times. The word loved is mentioned over 150 times. The word marriage, 21 times. The word wife, 407 times. The word husband, 120. Guys, we get no respect at all, do we? Yeah. I didn't say that. Three types of love in the time of the ancients. One was eros, physical sexual love. The erotic comes from that. One was philadelphos. It means brotherly love, friendship, compassion, kindness. The one in the most of all is agape, the love of God. Love of God presented to his son, Jesus Christ, in whom he was well pleased. That's the love we should strive after. Now, we can't love God as much as he loves us, but we can strive to love him with all that we have, with all the opportunities we have. They almost had to stop Valentine's Day this year. The little machine that puts them words on that little hard candy that breaks your teeth, it broke. And they couldn't put words on most of the kids. I'm serious. I couldn't make it up. I'm not that smart. And you will agree with me. But they couldn't print it. They go, oh, this is terrible. So it's a lot of little elves painting by hand. I don't know. That's just what I heard. Love of all those is great. And you'll say happy Valentine's to some, and you'll give cake, and I'm going to eat a piece of pie maybe in a minute or so. And I heard there's a strawberry. At least save me one strawberry anyway. Pie over there. But the agape love. See, I wear this one for Valentine's Day. I wear this one for real love. It's the ichthus. It's the fish. It's a symbol that the early Christians would make, even when they're persecuted, with their foot in the sand. One would draw the top half, one would draw the bottom half, and they knew they were brothers and sisters in Christ. And all the celebrating you do, and all the Valentine's, and getting a three-hour wait at Outback or a macaroni grill or something like that, has nothing in comparison for this love right here. And that's where we've got to go with it, the love of God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. For He said, for God so loved the world, that He gave His one and only begotten Son. Ah, that's not good enough. Believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's real love. That's the love that you would give your child away to help somebody else. That's what Valentine's Day should be for a Christian. For every day should be a day of love and compassion and sharing and teaching and caring. And when we have that in our heart, we cannot be defeated. Because once we've given our life to Christ through scriptural baptism, through the confession, through the acceptance of the Holy Spirit into our lives, Satan cannot win, because we're a majority of two, the Spirit and us. And with that, we should be powerful and ready for whatever that the devil has for us, whatever he intends to do to us. We go on. Verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides for us everything for our enjoyment. October 1929, when one minute you're a millionaire and the next minute you're broke, when the stock market crashed and lasted a long period of time. There's a lot of wealth just in the last month has been lost in Australia with those fires that came through and destroyed a great part of Australia. Can you imagine the setback that's going on right now with this virus that's going on? There are people who are basically in prison in cruise ships. Now I'm thinking, in prison in a cruise ship, there's something wrong with that? Yeah, because you're imprisoned in a cruise ship. And somebody's going to be sick. You can maybe be there for a long time. There's a lot of things that can destroy lives. A fire at Tim's mother's house almost destroyed her life, but destroyed a lot of possessions. We can lose a lot of things real fast. But what we will not lose is God's love for us. And when we drive on that, and we strive on that, and we believe that, we work that, we will be successful in our relationships with God. Because He wants us. He wants us to be in His fold. He wants us to come up and let just wrap our arms around Jesus, our Savior. Hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. God gives us what we need. This morning, did any of y'all look out and see the moon? Big old rascal called a snow moon. Now, it may be snowing somewhere else, it's not here, but it's the fourth largest moon there is. And it was just beautiful. Last night, the sunset going down, the red and over the, not a sea, it's not an ocean, it's a gulf, over the gulf, which is, God has painted more pictures than we could ever appreciate. We need to understand He loves us that much. He wants us to be in good deeds, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. This is a sharing congregation. We give a tremendous amount of money to missions in the home field as well, supporting the pregnancy care line with the young women who need help right now, trying to decide whether to keep or give up a baby or something. We give to that. We give to the veterans. We should be a giving and caring and sharing people, because God has truly blessed us. If you've ever traveled in the parts of my home place, the parts of eastern Kentucky, you ever traveled in foreign fields, you ever traveled some of the out west, there's a lot of poverty in this world. God has blessed us richly. When we get tore up, if gas goes up a nickel a gallon, it's 12 cents higher in Fort Myers. But who's paying attention? In this way, we lay up treasures for themselves. Treasures? You mean like that Nicolas Cage movie? Where he's going after all those treasures, you know, remember that one? Ooh, we got your attention. Trish, I'm going to read you a verse from the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, 19th verse. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves will not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What a line there. And I do believe when we're walking through those pearly gates on that street of gold and eating from the tree of life with the river of life throwing from the throne of God, it won't matter whether we were billionaires or poorest church mouses. Because everybody there belongs to Jesus. And how much richer can we be than that? Take hold of the life. This is truly life. Guard, Timothy, what has been entrusted to your care. Now he's talking to us. Turn away from godless chatter. Gossip and foolishness is what I'm going to put on that. And ideas falsely called knowledge that some have professed. In doing so, they have departed from the faith. Can you believe that? It's exactly 11:30. We got done exactly on time. You're going to get to eat, but we've heard about Jesus today. And that's more important than the food for the soul is a lot more important than food for the body. If you have a decision to make regarding your relationship with God, Pam's going to come up. The pianist is going to come up. We're going to turn to